Good morning. Well, we are in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So two key verses, key words for this message is honor and family. Honor and family. Okay, just start with that. Honor means value something, and respect to estimate, fix the value. Then we give respect due to the value to that which we give honor. Honor. So just keep that honor. Then family. What is the theme verse for 1 Timothy? Anybody remember? Reference first, then you can tell me the... All right. What is the theme for the First Timothy? We can say it out. First Timothy 3:15. How one ought to conduct himself in the household of God or in the family of God. So now we have come to the. We have various ways. We looked at various things. How one ought to conduct in the family of God. We are a family of God. Grace Gospel Chapel is a family of God. So what we are going to study in 1 Timothy chapter 15, we are going to apply to Grace Gospel Chapel. So here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we have a picture of the family here. So how we should honor one another in the family. Then there is one select group of people, that is the widows, as are brought forth, and how we honor them. Let me read the first two verses, then we'll pray, then we'll start to study this passage. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger man as brothers, the older woman as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Let us ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we are thankful that you are our Father, and we are in the family of God. Lord, there is nothing more greater than to be part of the family of God. And we have a heavenly Father. And we, one another, are brothers and sisters. So we pray that you teach your word. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help all the temptation I may have to put my few words in there. Lord, let the Spirit of God control my heart and my spirit and my word, so that your own word will be honored. And we pray for your Spirit, Holy Spirit, to work in each one of our hearts, so that we may heed your word and we live by your word. We thank you for your word. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the dictionary defines family as a basic unit in the society, which consists of parents and children. That is, we get a picture of the family. And also the church is a family. Church, ecclesia, is a called out company, a gathering or an assembly, a group of believers gathered in the Lord Jesus Christ in a particular place who share in the share the life of Christ. So we are a family. We are gathered here in this particular place in Plumsterville, and we are linked together in living union with the Holy Spirit. So what unites us is not the blood, ancestry blood, or the last name we all share. Or what unites or links us together is the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are linked together by God, God's Holy Spirit. Not by the color of our skin, not by the language we speak, or not by the food we eat, or the culture we came from, or even the ancestry or the family bloodline we came from. What unites us is that we are part of the family of God. We are linked, united with Christ by the Holy Spirit. That is a strong link. The blood of Jesus Christ unites us more than human flesh and blood. So keeping that truth in our mind, let us look at this verse. Now, we saw how one ought to behave or conduct in the family or the household of God. That has been the theme, and all what instructions we were given were built around that theme. So a family, what are the characteristics of a family? Some of us as family, we were all part of the family, either in various capacity, as a child or as a father, as a mother, as a grandmother, or somehow we are all connected to a family. We all know what is the characteristics of a family. What are the characteristics of a family? There is structure in the family, right? There is authority in the family, right? There's accountability in the family. There is discipline in the family. There is love and care, nurturing in the family. Love and care in the family, right? Where do we enjoy the most tender love and care and compassion? Where do we experience compassion? In the family, and it's that's where we experience relationship. It's a family. Now the family, our family, has a father and a mother, and they are the leaders, right? And we have siblings, and siblings are brothers and sisters. In the family of God, who is our Father? Heavenly Father. And the elders and deacons are the leaders. And the believers, we are believers, we are brothers and sisters. I'm looking at all my brothers and sisters. We are a family. Now, we come to the family. Now, Paul is telling Timothy, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father. Timothy is a young man. It is a personal message to Timothy, but it's a personal message to all the... Timothy is a young man. There may be a temptation to be impatient with an older man. A little resentful and impatient with some of the older men. Is that true? You know, that's why the generation gaps come. The younger generation, the older generation. And I was young once, and I know I was impatient with the older men. And I'm old now, young at heart. But Paul is saying that we are family. We may, older generation may have their way they have learned so many years. Maybe they may be sometimes a little stubborn too, you know. So I'm including myself in that camp right now. So the younger men don't understand why the older generation sometimes act a certain way. But I was in the same camp. So Paul is saying, do not sharply rebuke an older man. That word rebuke is a strong word. That means strike. It's chastised with the words. Strike upon, beat upon with the words. We can be harsh with the older men. Paul is saying that you should not do in a way to make them feel like nothing. Even if they, we can take this into various contexts. Maybe they have sinned. Even in that case, there has to be certain respect in dealing with older men, because it very specifically says, appeal to him as a father. Older men, so we have to see older men in this assembly as our fathers. How do we treat our fathers? We don't agree with that all the time. I didn't agree with my father all the time. But I never lost respect for my father. I don't know whether I talked back to him maybe when I was young. I was very immature that time. And I got it for that. That was a no-no. But we may not agree with our fathers, but we always respect them. We will not badmouth them. I don't know. Maybe some of you may not agree with your fathers. I don't know. But we will not badmouth all our own fathers. We will honor them, even though we may not agree with them all the time. So we have to pause this now for a second and ask ourselves, how are we treating the older men in our lives? Are we appeal to them or treat them as fathers, even in times we don't agree? That is the Spirit of God that teach and help us to examine our hearts at this time. And maybe we can learn a lesson to be a little more humble before our older generation. See, we respect our parents. You know, in the Indian culture, the Hindus especially, in the Christians, but in Hindus, they respect their parents. When they see their father or mother, they fall at their feet. They fall at their feet and then they touch their feet, or they kiss their feet. That is a show of respect. So we are supposed to, we all honor our father and mother. Now the next verse saying that the older women, let me go to the older, then we'll come to the younger men. The older women as mothers. Now same, sometimes, you know, we also are a little impatient with the older women in our lives. But do we see all the older women in this chapel as our mothers? It's not, our mothers are not perfect. But we love them. Nobody loves you more than your own mother. Does not matter what you do, they love you to death. And we honor, we love our moms. But when we are dealing with older women, when we are talking to one another about our older men and women in our lives, we have to value them. We have to show them honor. The word of God says, honor your father and mother. And Paul is saying that, apply, because you are in the family of God, apply that to older men and older women in our chapel, in our lives. And younger men as brothers. Many of us have siblings, and that means understanding them. They make mistakes, but we need to bring them along, show the right path, be an example to them. Younger men as brothers, then younger women as sisters, in all purity. Paul emphasizes purity, because this is a man thing. Man has a tendency to look at women and younger women and have their imagination go wild. So Paul knows, the Spirit of God knows, and Timothy being a young man, he added that in all purity. Treat them as sisters in all purity. And that we have to be very careful. Even David was a man after God's own heart, and he was not able to control his own spirit, gave to the temptation of the flesh. And that's why the word of God very clearly says to the sisters, dress modestly. Because the Spirit of God knows the weakness of man. The all purity, we have to look at younger women as sisters in all purity. I remember many years ago, we had this Indian youth retreat. High school kids, or maybe middle school, so starting 8th grade or 9th grade, high school and college and career. So some of these kids in the teenagers, young guys, 13, 14, 15, so they wanted to have girlfriends that age. So in our Q&A session, I don't know, one question was asked, why can't I have a girlfriend? So the preacher we had that youth retreat, he gave a very good answer. He said, why can't I have a girlfriend? So the preacher, that brother said, you can have a girlfriend. But you have to treat her as 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 2 says. Look at her as your sister. Treat her as your sister with all purity. Can you do that? Then he has sister, so he cannot do that. So the word of God is saying that we have to look at younger sisters in our chapel, younger women as sisters in all purity. So this honor in the home, how we treat older men, how we treat older women, how we treat younger men, how we treat younger women. Older men as a father, or older men as fathers, older women as mothers, younger men as brothers, and younger women as sisters. Now we come to the next portion, that is verse 3 to 16. It's about 14 verses, deal with one subject, widows. Honor widows who are widows indeed. A widow indeed is a widow in need. How we treat the widower, how we treat the widows among us. Now, God has a very special place in his heart for the widows. The Word of God very clearly says in the Old Testament that we should, God has a very special heart for the orphans and the widows. Now, who are the orphans? Orphans are who are deprived of parents. Children, young children, who is their provider? Who protects them? Who loves them? Their parents are the ones, supposed, they are dependent on the parents. The parents provides for them. Parent protects them. And parent is the one who shows them love and care. When they are deprived or they are lost, the children become orphans. They don't have anybody to care for them. Then that's where God's heart go out for the orphans. Now, who are the widows? What is the definition of a widow? A bereaved, a deprived of her husband. Now, in the scripture, we see the husband is the provider and the protector and the caregiver. He cares for the wife, he protects the wife, he provides for the wife. So when that husband is lost or taken away or deprived, then she is left with no help. Nowhere in the scripture we see women are, nowhere it was told that women to provide. They are not the providers. Widows are the symbol of helplessness, poverty. They are utterly needy. We can see a number of references in the Old Testament. We'll read one in Exodus chapter 22, verse 22. Exodus 22, verse 22. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry. Then in Deuteronomy, verse 10, 18. Deuteronomy 10, 18. He executes judgment, justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. One more. There are a number of references in the Old Testament about God's care for the orphans and the widows. Psalms 146, verse 9. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. I can go on and read a number of references. We can see the widows, God has a very special place in his heart for the widows because they are depending on the Lord. They are helpless. They are spoken in the scripture as a symbol or a picture of utter helplessness and poverty. When Elijah was sent to Zarephath, to a widow's place, because God wants to show how God can take care of Elijah, he was in the school of brokenness. God was in the process of making a man out of Elijah. And in order to make a man out of Elijah, he has to break him. And he fed initially Elijah with through a raven, then you send him to Sarephath, to a widow. That widow only had a son. She was collecting stick so it could just make the last piece of bread and die. But she was asked to take care of Elijah. But God showing that, why did he send it to this widow in Sarephath who had only one son, was just about to die? God wants to show that in the bottomless stages, the low state of poverty, God can take care of Elijah. But as a symbol of that, there was present a widow who was about to die. And now in the Old Testament, we can see many other places, the widow, even Naomi and Ruth, how God's provision was extended to these two widows through the picture of our kinsman redeemer Boaz, and the blessing showered by God through Boaz. He was the picture of our kinsman redeemer Jesus Christ. How he took them under his wings shows how God is going to take us under his wings. So we can see many other occasions where widows are presented as a picture of helplessness. Even in the New Testament, we can see that when Jesus wanted to show we need to give sacrificially, he gave us the illustration of this widow who was putting the two silver copper coins, which was all her savings, into the temple. Why did he pick somebody else? Why did he notice the widow and he spoke about it? And later on, when Jesus raised this widow's son in the town of Nain, and he was showing compassion to a widow, she had only one son and he died, he raised him up. And James chapter 1 verse 27 says, what is the true religion? What is the true religion? It's to taking care of orphans and widows and those who are in need, and keeping a hold on our tongue. But there also the picture of the true religion is shown as taking care of the widow. So the widows have a very special place in the heart of God. So God says here, honor widows who are widows indeed. A widow is a picture of the one who is deprived. Honor those really deprived. A destitute, honor those who are really destitute. Honor is the word used here. Earlier we saw that honor is respect, giving something value due to that something or to a person, and showing respect based on what value we give to that person. Even though the honor was not in the earlier two verses, I kind of thought that was the reason behind how we ought to treat older men and older women and younger men and younger women. But here we need to honor the widows who are widows indeed. From this statement, we know that there are some widows who are not widows indeed. So here it says, honor those who are widows indeed. And the meaning of the widows who are destitute, who are really destitute. So we can apply that who are in needs. It is the responsibility of the family of God to take care of. Even though the word honor means respect, we know the elders are worthy of double honor. One is respect and the other one is financial help. So here, even though the general sense is honor is respect, giving somebody value, but more in the context it is financial help. help those who are destitute, those who are helpless, those who are deprived, those who cannot help themselves. But this was written in a time there was no social welfare or social help from the government. But it was the responsibility of the church, the family of God, to take care of their own. Now, we have a number of widows in our chapel. And also, we have some who are not married, but they also fall into the category of widows in the sense they don't have a husband. They may be by themselves. They may be lonely. They may be dependent. Or they may not be, you know, they may not be literally widows, but we can put them in that category. But widows, they are. I don't know. I know how many of our widows are in need of financial help and assistance. But if that is there, we need to find out and help those who are in need. And that applies to other those who are in need as well. This is a general principle we're going to take from this, which applies to the widows and applies to any who are in that situation. But even if they don't need the financial help, but I want to emphasize that we need to respect them. We need to be compassionate to them. We need to honor them. If I may, I don't know if you're going to do it or not, may I see all those who are widows in our chapel? If you can raise your hand or maybe stand up. Or okay, thank you. Maybe you can just see. We all know, but just to, we have a number of widows among us. Just take a look at these are older women. We are told to treat them as mothers. They are precious to God. They have a special place in the heart of God for them. Even if they don't need financial help, we don't know if they need. We need to find out and help them. If they are okay in that sense, praise God for it, but we can still honor them. Respect them. Show them compassion and kindness and love and value because God values them. But in verse 4, God, the word says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, even though God wants us to financially support the widows among us or those who are destitute or needy among us, there is an exception. Exception is even though they are widows indeed in the sense they have a need, but the primary responsibility to meet their needs are not on the church. The primary responsibility to take care of their needs is in their own family, children and grandchildren. The widow, if any widow, so right away even that principle is laid out by God here, then the Lord is saying that, but even though that is the case, we need to honor, we need to help, we need to support. But the primary responsibility rests on the family. If they have children or grandchildren, they should take care of their own first. Now, he gives us a couple of reasons for that. Number one, they must learn to practice their piety at home. That's where it starts. Piety starts at home. Piety, godliness. Where does piety start? It doesn't start on the pulpit. It starts at home. Then we bring it out. Then we show it to everybody else. It starts at home. That is the number one reason. Then the second reason, make some return for their parents. They should make a return for what they received from their parents. We all enjoyed our parents' love and care and protection since the day we were conceived in the womb. We know how much that mother suffered or how much inconvenience that mother went through and sacrificed and inconveniences. And later on after birth, the children were cared sacrificially. All those young parents in our chapel right now, you know how you care for your children. And we know how we were cared by our parents. Now it is time for us to make some return to them. That's why it says they must learn to, they should bring it as a return to their parents. Children and grandchildren must learn to take care of their parents. Close relatives must relieve the church of burden for caring for widows. It is our duty to our parents, a return for the care we received. And so, why we should take care of, so if you have widows, then if the parent, the children or grandchildren are able and to take care of them, that's where we start. That is their responsibility to take care of the parents. And another one, it is acceptable in the sight of God. So number one, we need to learn to practice our piety at home. Number two, it is a return for what they have done for us. And number three, it pleases the Lord. Because the fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. And it is a way of honoring our parents for what they have done for us, how they took care of us. Now we see some of the characteristics of a true widow. Verse 5. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues to make entreaties and prayers night and day. But she, so that verse 5 gives some of the characteristics of the widows who are indeed widows. So when we make our decision to support a widow, we have to look at what are the qualifications, what are the spiritual characteristics, what are those which stands out. Here it says she's desolate. That means she's left entirely alone. She has nobody else to support. And she trusts God. Her hope is entirely placed on God. Then thirdly, her trust is shown by her prayer. She prays. So she is needy and she trusts God. She is needy means there is no one else to support her. She has no family to support her. She has no resources to support her. So she is left alone. She is helpless. She has no means of support. And secondly, she trusts the Lord for her needs. And that trust is evidenced by her constant prayer. She's a woman of prayer. She lives in an attitude of prayer. Continue to pray. Those are the definite actions. So we know Anna Luke chapter 2, she was very young when she got married. Then she, after 7 years, she became a widow, and she is 84 years old now. All these years, she served the Lord night and day. She was at the temple serving the Lord, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is an example of this kind of widow. She's needy, she trusts the Lord, and she prays as evidence of her trust. Lives in an attitude of prayer. But right away in verse 6, we can see a contrast. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead while she lives. So the widow who lives for pleasure. So now there's two different types of widows. One who has nothing, but she trusts the Lord. She lives to serve the Lord. On the other hand, there may be a widow who is in need, but she lives for pleasure. And she is characterized as a person who is dead while she lives. She may be living for pleasure. I don't know exactly what that pleasure could be. She may be living luxuriously, or she may be living an immoral life. But there is no evidence of spiritual life in that widow, even though she may be a needy one. So she has no claim upon the saints. And the church is not obligated to support such one. Then verse 7 says, prescribe these things well so that they may be above reproach. Now what we have seen earlier, Paul says to Timothy, teach these things, command these things, prescribe these things, so that they may be above reproach. The widows may be above reproach, and also we, if we have old widows in our family, we need to support them. We need to start piety at home. We need to start our godliness at home. And we need to care for those widows. That's how we become blameless, above reproach. So it applies to both widows and the members, children and grandchildren. So prescribe, command these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. Then Paul comes back and says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It is a basic Christian duty to provide for our parents. Even the unbelievers do that. And if Christians don't do it, then by our actions, we are proving that we are worse than unbelievers. Unbelievers take care of their parents. Many do. Millions do. I know that. Parents stay in the children's home until they die. And they take care of these parents. The invention of nursing home is new. I don't know how long we had nursing homes in this country. This is a new development. How did the older generation, when they become invalid or useless, did we throw them out 200 years ago, 300 years ago? When I was growing up in India, we didn't have any nursing home. Our parents and grandparents all stayed in our home. We took care of them until they went home to be with the Lord. Every need was provided, made their very life very comfortable. Children were very respectful to them because they knew they are the one who took care of them while they were young. And even unbelievers do that. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or not. But that's what Paul's point. Unbelievers do it. But if we don't do it, we are proving that we are worse than unbelievers. Okay, then let's, verse 9 to 10, let's see. A widow to be put on the list only if she has been. So now there are some requirements mentioned here for those who, what are the exemplified life of a godly widow? There are some requirements. She must be under 60 years old. She must be about 60 years old. Having been wife of one man. So there's an age. So Paul speaks about a list. I don't know what this list was. And there are some instructions. Maybe they had a widow's assistance policy they developed in that church in Ephesus. Widow's assistance policy. All these instructions were supposed to be part of that policy. They had to be a certain age. And these are the characteristics. And what are some of these characteristics? She has to be 60 years old, has to be wife of one man. That means she has to be faithful, having a reputation for good works. Now, what are some of these good works? Number one, top of the line, is that she has brought up children. If she has, number one, top of the line on the list of good works by which a widow is qualified to be supported by the church is that she has brought up her children well. What is the primary duty or the primary ministry of women? Bringing up children in the ways of the Lord. See, the Great Commission, the Old Testament, is to be fruitful and multiply. It was given to Adam and Eve well before they fell, before the fall. In a sense, God was telling to Adam and Eve, you make more Adams and Eves to reflect God on the face of the earth. The Great Commission of the New Testament is make disciples. Make more of Matthew, more of Mark, Luke, John, Lydia, and Mary. And when in Titus 2, women, the ministry of the women is to teach the younger women to love their husbands and be busy at home and bring up their children. So what is the greatest ministry of women? What is the main purpose that women has at home? To bring up children. To make disciples. Make disciples of Christ. That is the greatest ministry a woman has. Greatest, who has the greatest influence on children? Mothers. So she has to be faithful to her husband and brought up children. And another good work, she washed the saints' feet. That means she humbly served the co-believers. She met their needs, found out what is going on in their lives. That, you know, we don't wash feet nowadays, but that's a picture of serving, humbly serving, humility in serving. Assisted those who are in distress. That means who are going through difficulties, mental distress or physical distress or whatever distress. And another one, she devoted herself to every good work. So she's 60 years over and faithful to her husband. bringing up her children, showing hospitality, and humbly serving the co-believers, and relieving, assisting those who are in distress. Now, we don't do these things in order to get into the list of widows to be supported someday. Okay, now I'm going to check this thing. So someday if I need, the church will support me. Right? No. That should be the pattern of their lives. Now, as I was reading and studying, okay, my time is up, studying, I was thinking that this is not only for the widows. It is good advice for all of us. This should be the exemplary life, Christian life, we should all be living. Just like we know there are qualifications for elders and deacons. We don't do those things so someday I can be an elder or a deacon. We should be doing those regardless, and then emerge as elders and leaders. That is what we should be doing. Then the rest of the chapter says, reviews younger widows. Why? I'll give you the reason. Don't put younger widows less than 60 years old in this list. Why? Because the reason is given in verse 11 and 12. Because the younger widows, they feel sensual desires in regard to Christ and they want to get married. And they might have made some commitment to Christ and they changed their mind. Maybe emotionally they made a commitment. Now they changed their mind and they want to get married. And so they are violating their pledge and thus incurring condemnation. So one of the reasons we should not support the younger widows, because they may want to get married eventually. Another reason, they will, verse 13, at the same time they will learn to be idle, go from house to house, and not merely idle but also gossips, busybodies, talking about other about things not proper to mention. So that is another reason we should not put them. Two reasons. I don't have time to expound those. Then what they should do? Verse 14. They should get married, bear children, keep the house, and do not give occasion for the enemy to reproach, because Satan is our enemy. He is prowling around us to see whom he may devour. And do not give any occasion for Satan to make us fall. So the younger women should get married. Then final instructions to the believers as a common. It says if any woman has a believer who is dependent widows, she should take care of that widow. It is but general instructions to all the believers. So to conclude, we have been given instructions to honor the older men in our assembly, older women in our assembly, younger men in our assembly, younger women in our assembly. Treat older men as fathers, treat young older women as mothers, treat younger men as brothers, treat younger women as sisters. And we must honor the widows, the helpless one. We should respect them, honor them. If they need financial help, we should help them. But the primary responsibility belongs to the family. And we have seen how we qualify those we need to help and what disqualifies them as well. So may this teach some principles so we can apply that in all areas of our lives, in our chapel, and also in our own personal lives, to live an exemplary life, to honor God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study of your word. We are taught how to behave, to conduct ourselves in the assembly, in the family of God. Help us to do as you taught us. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.